In you, Lord, my God, I put my trust. I trust in you. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one who hopes in you will ever be put to shame, but shame will come on those who are treacherous without cause. Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me. For you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. Remember, Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways according to your love. Remember me, for you, Lord, are good. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore he instructs sinners in his ways. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful toward those who keep the demands of his covenant. For the sake of your name, Lord, forgive my iniquity, though it is great. Who then are those who fear the Lord? He will instruct them in the ways they should choose. They will spend their days in prosperity, and their descendants will inherit the land. The Lord confides in those who fear him. He makes his covenant known to them. My eyes are ever on the Lord, for only he will release my feet from the snare. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. Relieve the troubles of my heart and free me from my anguish. Look on my affliction and my distress and take away all my sins. See how numerous are my enemies and how fiercely they hate me. Guard my life and rescue me. Do not let me be put to shame, for I take refuge in you. May integrity and uprightness protect me, because my hope, Lord, is in you. Deliver Israel, O God, from all their troubles. The blessing of Almighty God be upon this reading, and to God's name be all honor, thanks, and praise this day and forever. Amen. I recently read that one of the great gifts of the Psalms is that they are not only the inspired word of God, but they are the uninspired words of us humans who speak to God. And through the Psalms, we can learn how God delights in hearing from us when we lift our prayers, when we offer our words to God. If I talk to God the same way that some of the psalm writers talk to him when I was a boy, my mother might have washed my mouth out with soap. They can get a little salty, a little rough at times. Kayla Smith wrote in her blog post, "As I've grown in my relationship with Jesus, I've come to long for the types of conversations David had with God. I've come to crave the honesty he had in his voice when speaking with the one who loves him most. Who would have thought that we could ever ask God, 'Do not let me be put to shame. Remember, Lord, your great mercy and love,' like God needs a reminder. 'Forgive my iniquity, though it is great. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted.' Nope," says Kayla, "those aren't the words that I learned to say when I talk to God. I learned, 'Lord, be with so-and-so, because she's a big sinner right now and just miserable.' Or, 'Help me get an A on the test I didn't study for.' Or, 'If you can make that boy in my English class like me, could you do that?' So I'm thankful that Psalm 25 has opened my eyes, like it has Kayla's, to the freedom God allows us to go to him in moments of great joy and moments of great despair, approaching God humbly and honestly with all of our prayers. We can do this because a baby born in Bethlehem lived the life we couldn't live and died the death we deserve to die. Psalm 25, I believe, is a psalm for all seasons. It's an enlarged version of that most eloquent but brief prayer that I spoke to the children about. We've all said it. Help. Help me. Psalm 25 is a prayer of trust, a prayer of guidance, a prayer in celebration of God's mercy and love, a prayer made in the consciousness of past sin, a prayer affirming the goodness of the Lord, a prayer awaiting the teaching of God's way, a prayer of trust in God's covenant faithfulness. Now, as we enter into this prayer today that we have already heard and prayed once in its reading, we affirm our trust in the Lord. To the Israelites, lifting their hands in prayer was a gesture of dependence upon the Lord to answer those prayers. It indicated openness to God's grace, willingness to obey his instruction, and submission to his leadership. Then we make our plea before the bar of God's justice. The psalmist's plea is not to be put to shame. That was not only a personal prayer, but David was also praying for the kingdom, for all of Israel. As such, it concerned the honor of God in whom we trust as we seek the hope that we have in the Lord. Next, we seek God's guidance. To obey the Lord, we need to hear his instructions, and dependence on God should lead us to right living and right decision making. This involves following his ways, walking in his paths, being led in his truth, and being taught by him. The Father said about the Son in the Gospels, "This is my Son whom I love. Listen to him." On the positive side, we ask the Lord to remember his great mercy and love. For they are from of old. For the psalmist, these had been demonstrated in ages past, perhaps referring to the Lord's revelation to Moses throughout the whole Sinai sojourn. We too can count our blessings, name them one by one, acknowledging the mercy, compassion, and faithfulness of the Lord as we walk the paths of our lives today. That is why I see here a perfect substitution. What I see here is that the Lord is asked by David to forget his sins and to look upon him in mercy as he would look upon Christ. The Apostle Paul describes it in 2 Corinthians, "God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." The psalm writer appeals to the Lord's mercy and goodness to blot out the sins of his youth. Next, we affirm God's goodness. It is because of the Lord's goodness that we can rely on him to teach us his way. Jesus said, you recall, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And then we claim a promise in Psalm 25. A bit later in the book of Psalms, Psalm 37, the writer promises that the meek shall inherit the land. In the New Testament, Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, you recall, promises that the meek will inherit the earth. So the Lord undertakes to guide the humble into what is right and teaches them his way. And finally, in Psalm 25, we claim the covenant and the word of God. This goodness, mercy, and truth is based in God's covenant, is consistent with what the psalmist knew of God's word. The ultimate expression of God's covenant mercy and love is seen in the cross of Christ, in sending his only Son because of his love for the world. So there's a variety of prayers in Psalm 25, quite a few, but they all reflect one simple prayer. Help me. Grant me your help, O Lord. I think they lead us to that one word prayer, and every time I think of asking for the Lord's help, I think of a story that I read as a teenager in a little book by Corrie ten Boom titled The Hiding Place. Corrie ten Boom was a Dutch watchmaker's daughter who was arrested by the Nazis and was taken to one of the concentration camps. She was a Christian, but her family assisted Jews and the others in the underground to escape from the Nazis. In the concentration camp at Ravensbrück, where Corrie ten Boom and her sister Betsy were sent, the barracks were terribly overcrowded and flea-infested. They had been able to miraculously smuggle a Bible into the camp, and in that Bible, they had read all the things for which they were to give thanks, and that God can use anything for good, which they saw in Romans chapter 8. Corrie's sister Betsy decided that this meant thanking God for the fleas. That was too much for Corrie, who said she couldn't do such a thing. Betsy insisted, so Corrie gave in and prayed to God, thanking God even for the fleas. Over the next several months, a wonderful but curious thing happened. They found that the guards never entered their barracks. This meant that the women were not assaulted by the guards. It also meant they were able to do the unthinkable, which was to hold a Bible study and a prayer time within a Nazi concentration camp. Though through this remarkable turn of events, countless numbers of women came to faith in Christ, and only at the end did they discover why the guards had left them alone and would not enter their barracks. Because of the fleas. When we ask for God's help, we must remember the promise of Romans 8:28 that God will use all things for good in the lives of those who trust him. So in times of trial and trouble, in times of physical and emotional challenges, there can be little doubt that our prayers for God's help must be followed by prayers of thanks and gratitude for God's gifts. Regardless of how we think our prayers have been answered or left unanswered. When we feel so challenged by the circumstances of life that it's difficult to sincerely thank God for his help, in whatever form that help comes, we ought to remember the story of Corrie and Betsy ten Boom, who thanked God even for the fleas. And then, like Corrie and Betsy, we ought to give thanks to God for his help. May integrity and uprightness protect me, because my hope, Lord, is in you all the day long. Amen.